and welcome to the Pinstripe Alley Podcast. I'm Andrew Mearns, joined as always by Kun Shaw. How are you doing?
Right, you know, the Yankees are doing better, so I'm not 500 like I was last week. I'm a little bit above 500 now.
Oh, yeah. We fell briefly back to 500 at one point, but, you know, the Nationals bullpen decided to be the Nationals bullpen, and that was a nice little assist.
It's actually pretty impressive. Not only did the Yankees win some baseball games this week, they also won some Manfred ball games this week.
Yeah.
Completely different sport.
Imagine. This is like cross-cultural content here.
They did it. I don't know how they did it, but, you know, it's just impressive when you just pick up a sport out of nowhere that you haven't been playing, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of a game, you're like, oh, we're just going to play with different rules.
Exactly. But yeah, they almost swept the Astros. That would have been extremely nice to pull off, but unfortunately, the bullpen had its first real meltdown of the season on Thursday afternoon in the Altuve home run game off Chad Green. Justin Wilson also did not pitch well in that game. Then, of course, the next day, the bullpen looked like shit again. This time it was Loaisiga and Sessa, who they were probably just reminding everyone that even though they're pitching pretty well this year, deep down, they still have traces of the old Loaisiga and Sessa in them. So thank you for the reminder, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to expect a bullpen to go perfect for 162 games.
No. That's just,
if you're asking for that, then I don't know what's wrong with you, but something is. But yeah, I mean, the Altuve, the Astros loss was like very annoying, obviously, but you really didn't expect Altuve to do nothing throughout the three games. I honestly expected the same thing to happen, but with Chapman pitching, just because, you know, it would have been perfect, but it was Chad Green pitching, so I'll take that as a win that we didn't have to see another Altuve home run off of Chapman, so yay.
That's true. That is something that we managed to avoid this time around. But as you said, it's one of those things where you totally understood how the sequence of events in the game played out that way. There was no reason for Aaron Boone to not trust his bullpen when it had been so incredible for the first month and change of the season. And I know Garrett Cole was out there, but he still obviously looked good on Thursday because he's Garrett Cole. But by Garrett Cole's standards, his command is a little off. So maybe that's not the outing where you need to push him in the eighth. And again, especially not if you have a bullpen like this one.
Yeah, and it's not like Boone would like pulled the plug on Cole on like in like the fourth, fifth, or sixth inning. He still completed seven innings.
Yeah, that's a long outing.
He just needs to be cut or sent down to the minors because he gave up two home runs to the same guy. But besides that,
yeah, no reason to not expect Chad Green to not get the job done in that instance. It just didn't happen, and that sucks. Yeah.
Chad Green's been one of, like, you know, your most reliable relievers for the last like 3-4 years at this point. Like, it's okay to trust him with the baseball. It's very okay. Sometimes shit just happens. It's baseball.
Yeah, and like Loaisiga had been incredible pretty much up until Friday, and then he just looked like absolute dog shit. And yeah, that just happens sometimes. It sucks and it's really annoying, but c'est la vie, baseball.
Yeah, the return of Johnny Lasagna. Hopefully he's gone after that.
Yeah. The bullpen picked it up again in the last couple games of the series against the Nationals and helped them win those extra inning games. So, hey, take that.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you struck out 14 times in a game against Max Scherzer and still came away with winning that baseball game,
yeah, that's I can't believe they won that game.
Yeah, like, it's obviously very much not what you want to strike out 14 times in a game, but you know, Max Scherzer is going to do that to you. You can't just quote unquote go the other way or just bunt against him or whatever, no. You know, people want people to do, but no, he's Max Scherzer. He's just going to dominate you in whatever way he can.
It was enough of a miracle that Kyle Higashioka had homered off him earlier in that game. Cause if he doesn't do that, then that game doesn't go extras and they lose.
No, exactly. Yeah. So if it wasn't for Higgy just managing to like run into one, but the fact that he did and that he still managed to win that game, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to even gonna complain. You know, yeah, it didn't look good. It was ugly, but I'll take it.
Yeah, and then, of course, they win on that bases-loaded squibber from Glaber. But exactly. You just, it doesn't matter. You win ugly, still a win. And hey, yeah, you survived Manfred ball.
Exactly. You know, played a different sport here, people.
Right. Managed to pull out those wins in extra innings against the Nationals, and that brought them back to two games over 500. And the bullpen and the rest of the pitching staff is getting a much needed off day today on the day that we're recording, Monday. And then, of course, we got a fun three-game set at the Trop coming up. So look forward to some nonsense there.
Can we just like forfeit to three games and not even bother? not even like I'm expecting the Yankees to lose or trying to be like a downer or anything like that. I don't want to watch it. It's not going to be fun, even if they manage to win a game or two, maybe even sweep. They won't, but I just don't want to watch it.
Yeah, it's hard for them to win down there for whatever reason. There's just weird stuff always seems to happen at the Trop, but they will at least have Gerrit Cole pitching the middle game of that series, so maybe they'll win one.
Okay, fine. That one game can be allowed to happen. The other two forfeit. Yeah. It's not worth it.
Yeah, hope springs eternal, but it's weird. I think I remember the last time the Yankees played at the Trop, it was earlier in the season, but I'm pretty sure I found a stat that said that they'd won like two games at the Trop since 2019 began or something like that. It's not great.
It's really, really bad. And obviously, like, you know, part of that caveat is shortened 2020 season, that they might have won like three or four games if we had a full season. It's just, it's definitely not what you want, and I'm not looking forward to seeing them there.
Yeah, well, maybe they will defy expectations and do something nice there for once. We can be optimistic, right? Maybe.
Woo!
Yeah. Well, aside from that, the offense did look a little bit better against the Astros than they did during the series against the Nationals. Obviously, getting shut down by Scherzer is one thing, but they also didn't look that great against, like, Joe Ross, which, like, probably do a little bit better against Joe Ross, but what are you going to do? Yeah, it may just be a byproduct of offense being down throughout the entire league too, which is, I think, sort of, not to excuse the Yankees' offensive problems from time to time, but that is something that's going on throughout the league and not just focused on the Yankees. And that's something that I think fans need to keep in mind a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, as Yankees fans, it's easy for us to focus on the Yankees and be like, oh my God, they're just so bad. And then, like, just picture like, oh, but look how good Mike Trout is doing. Yeah, Mike Trout is doing great because he's Mike Trout.
Yeah, but breaks the rules.
Exactly. He's not fair. He's a video game character. So is Byron Buxton before he got hurt. Those guys are not somebody that we should be like, oh my God, but if they're doing well, then these guys should be doing well. No. But the fact of the matter is, across the league, offense is down. You know, they've deadened the ball because reasons. Everyone's here for ground into double plays, I guess. And that's just kind of the reality we have to live with until and unless they do something about that. Like, they actually came out and said, hey, we're going to deaden the ball because offense was boring or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the barometer, I think, right now that best exemplifies this is that Gary Sanchez, his overall numbers are 174, 337, 319, which you look at and you're like, wow, that's terrible. And yeah, it hasn't been pretty, especially pretty much every series for Gary after like the first one or two of the season have been bad. But overall, right, that's an OPS plus of 91, which, like, you look at it from that perspective and it's like, okay, I guess it's not that bad, but that's just emblematic of all the offensive struggles around the league.
Yeah, and, like, you know, it's a funny thing. Like, they obviously, Manfred's had this whole thing about the pace of play for the game and trying to make the game at least a lot more action or go quicker, not necessarily shorten the length of the game. And I've been all for it. Like, I get it. I get what they're trying to do. I've never really cared much about, like, taking away the having to throw the four pitches for the intentional walk. Just put up the finger, let him go. I really don't care. That's fine. But deadening the ball to, like, get rid of home runs and get rid of offense, I don't know what the hell you're trying to do here. Because if you're talking about pace of play, like, people are like, yeah, strikeouts and all that, cool. It's fun to see, like, a great pitching dominance. But then when you have, like, four freaking no-hitters by the first or second week of May, this isn't fun anymore. Like, people are not going there to see, like, this pitching domination every single time out. They want to see home runs. They want to see runs.
Yeah, there have been two no-hitters since our last recording. One of them was John Means, and that would have been a perfect game if this catcher had caught strike three. And the other one was Wade Miley, which,
yeah,
okay. First of all, contract Cleveland for getting no-hit twice in one season, and also contract Cleveland for getting no-hit by Wade Miley in the year of our Lord 2021.
Yeah, man, it ain't great. I forget which episode of Effectively Wild, like, last week, I actually somebody asked this question to them, and I've been thinking about it, like, literally every day since then, about what's more impressive than, like, in today's game, like, in the year 2021, throwing a Maddox or throwing a no-hitter. I'm like, I think throwing a Maddox is more impressive. Everyone's throwing no-hitters. And then Wade Miley threw a no-hitter. I was like, yeah, see, everyone's throwing a no-hitter. I might be able to do one.
Yeah, at this point, it's like, who's right around the corner and going to do one? I don't know. Maybe Anibal Sanchez will make a comeback somewhere and throw a no-hitter.
But at the same time, hey, Yankees, if you want to throw a no-hitter, go for it.
Yeah, hey, as I've tweeted, hey, they hit the eighth longest no-hit drought now. So, hey, get done.
It's funny, like, up until, like, this season, I've always said, like, the Yankee, I felt like, whose chances were the highest of, like, randomly throwing a no-hitter were, like, Tanaka. And now I'm just like, I mean, obviously Gerrit Cole is up there because he's, you know, the best pitcher in the American League and, you know, maybe the second best pitcher in baseball.
Oh, yeah, I guess Gerrit Cole's up there.
I guess he can do it. But I still, I don't know, because I just feel like it's not one of those things where you just always expect the ace to go out and do it. It's like, you know, sometimes it's a random person, like Wade freaking Miley. I always felt like Tanaka, like just when he's on and his stuff is just on, like he's probably the most likely to do it. And now we won't see that this year, at least. And I'm sad again.
Yeah. No, it is kind of crazy to think about, like Greg Maddux, Roger Clemens, CC Sabathia. These guys never threw no hitters. None of the big Braves pitchers in the 90s threw no hitters. It's just like a matter of like who gets it. And it ends up being some really weird dudes. Like the day after Mike Mussina almost threw his perfect game in 2001, P.S. I hate you, Carl Everett.
Always and forever.
The day after, the Cardinals got a no hitter by a dude named Bud Smith, who had was a rookie and basically had, I think, like 12 career starts, and that was it.
You know, it's funny, like, you mentioned all these names, like, I wonder how mad that they are that they're not throwing, like, right now. Like, they're not pitching right now. Like, they're like, I bet I can rack up all these no-hitters the way they, like, the way, the amount of talent these guys had and just how, like, baseball's trying to kill the offense. They might be able to.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, would be nice to see a little bit more offense around the game. So if you could, you know, subtly switch up that ball again, or maybe find some more drastic measures in the offseason to try to curtail this overwhelming pitching that's going on. Because batters can't just, you know, bunt to get on all the time or go the other way. It's, yeah, you try to hit some of these pitches that they're throwing now. Jeez.
Manfred's just going to make it where, like, extra innings now starts with the bases loaded and the batter's up 3-0. Instead of just like putting the ball back to what it was and just leaving it where it was. No. This is what we're going to do.
Is this what you want? No. What about this? No.
Rob Manfred is like that tweet where likes are now florps. It's just everything he does to baseball. The yeah. Likes are now florps. Okay, cool.
Well, baseball goes sideways.
Yes.
I guess something else we should talk about is that Luke Voit is probably going to be back on the team. By the time you hear this on Tuesday, he should be activated if everything's going to plan. His rehab assignment in Scranton went very well. He OPS'd 1,000. So that's very good.
Kind of what you want.
Yes, that is almost exactly what you want. Actually, I think I may have misspoke. Hold on. So he did better than that. He slugged 1,000 in his five games in Scranton. So there you go. Luke Voit looks just about ready to rejoin this team, and he will be a welcome addition because first base has been such a black hole.
Are you not a big fan of Mike Ford and his mustache, which is no longer there, but, you know, just needs to mention how bad it was?
Yeah, that did.
That's all I really had to say. I really don't want to talk about Mike Ford. I just want to talk about how bad the mustache was, and I'm happy it's gone.
Yeah, between Mike Ford and the early Jay Bruce experiment, I am definitely ready to see Luke Voit back on this team because it's been rough and dingers will be much appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, the only time like first base hasn't been like a complete hole is when like DJ was playing first, but even then he hasn't been like exactly like tearing the ball off the cover or tearing the cover off the ball. There you go. That's an expression. You don't tear balls off a cover. But yeah, so it'll be nice to see like Luke Voit. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Obviously his bat looks ready. You know, he looks ready. It's just a matter of whether or not he can stay healthy, which hopefully he can. And I think he'll have some sort of like ripple effect throughout the whole offense. Just like, you know, when they move Stanton to the two hole, I think, you know, adding in a hitter like Luke Voit will do a lot for this team.
It does. And I think he is really the key to a lot of what makes this lineup work because he does not really go into as deep slumps as sometimes like Stanton and Judge can fall into. He's a little bit more consistent in that regard as long as he's healthy. So I'm pretty optimistic about what Luke Voit can do for this team. And also getting Gio Urshela back in that lineup too after he had to miss the entire National Series because of that knee injury that he suffered in the last game against the Astros.
Yeah, you really felt that because, like, you know, before he got hurt, Urshela was hitting really well and great, you know, yeah. The offense was clicking, and now all of a sudden you lose Urshela, you call up Miguel Andujar, which is like fine, but he didn't do anything, so you know, all of a sudden just the offense trending upward just kind of crashes and burns and you're like, oh crap. But now if you're able to bring back Urshela, like obviously he hasn't hit the IL or anything like that, so chances are he may play tomorrow, I hope at least, and then you probably getting Luke Voit back, that's going to do a lot to balance this lineup out and, you know, give Judge and Stanton some sort of help And hopefully Judge will kind of get it going because he's had a rough week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a guy who I almost gave him my Yankee of the Week last week, and then he follows it up with just this absolutely abysmal week where he strikes out 7 times in a row at one point and is in a malaise. So hopefully the mostly 2 days off that he got, aside from that pinch hit walk appearance on Sunday, will help clear his head a little bit. And maybe he'll hit some ping pong dingers at the Trop. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, but as you said, like Urshela back on the steam, you felt his loss in the lineup too, because Andujar, he had been hitting well in AAA and just did not carry that over. I know he only got the 2 games, so maybe that's not long enough to actually say anything about it, but he just did not look very sharp.
Yeah, like I'm not going to be like, oh my God, Andujar is done because it was just 2 games. But at the same time, it's been, we're going on 3 years since his rookie of the year.
Since he last did anything, yeah.
His runner-up campaign, so... It's not really, you know, working out great for him as far as that's concerned. I feel like if he really needed to kind of come in and make an impact right away, like, you know, like I said, I don't think the 2 games will be held against him necessarily, but I think if he wanted to stay up or wanted more of a chance, he needed to do something at least, even hit one double.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw Miguel Andujar's entire first 2021 stint with the Yankees come in and come out through the night, basically, since our last podcast. So maybe he'll come back at some point, but first look was not great.
Once again, to quote Joe Girardi, it's not what you want.
It is not what you want. Pick it up, Mickey. Okay. Anything else coming to mind for you?
No, I mean, that pretty much covers it. Like, they're trending upward. They're definitely playing better baseball of late, which is good to see. But there's obviously still a few holes that need to be plugged in and still a few things they need to work on. Hopefully they'll keep it going and maybe they'll come out with a series win in Trop.
We can hope, right?
We can hope. No, nothing is stopping us from hoping.
As Gandalf once said, there never was much hope, just a fool's hope. And we are fools.
But also, do not follow your nose in the Trop. I'm just assuming that place smells bad.
Yeah, you're going to like follow your path to the raised tank and fall in. And something bad will happen.
There's two places you should not follow your nose. Trop and in Oakland. Do not, yes. do not.
No, if you follow your nose in Oakland, you might get Epstein-Barr virus.
Hey, at least after the Trop, they go to Baltimore, which does usually do good things for the Yankees, and then they're in Texas, so let's see.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll take this moment to do an ad break, and we'll be right back. And we're back, and I think we're ready for another edition of our new segment, the Meet a Baby Bomber.
Woo.
Yeah. Who do you have this week, Gunch?
So I have the Tampa Tarpon second baseman. This is probably a predictable meet a baby bomber, but I just feel like he needs to be spotlighted right now. Mm-hmm. Trevor Hauver, because yeah. This dude is absolutely on fire right now.
Good
obviously
pick.
It's only been 5 games for them, like since the season started, but in 5 games, he has 6 home runs. He's OPSing 2265. The dude is unreal right now. He's just hitting the ball. It very long, very far, and Tampa just seems to be enjoying it. So I know he came in, he was drafted in last year in the 3rd round, I believe, in the shortened 2020 draft from Arizona State. And he was playing a lot of outfield there because they had a lot of infielders. But when he was signed by the Yankees, they announced him as a second baseman. That's kind of what he's been doing. And so far, you know, 2021 seems to agree with him a lot.
Yeah, it's really been funny just to see what the Tampa Tarpons offense has been doing this first week of the minor league season. They scored 65 runs in the first 4 games, which is a good pace, I think.
Yeah, can they play for the Yankees? I would like to see that offense for like a 4 or 5 game stretch. It'd be fun.
Yeah, Dan had a good article about some like the top prospects that were excelling there. Trevor Hauver was obviously part of it. Austin Wells is doing there too. Anthony Volpe. And those guys are off to a ridiculous start. And anytime you can get some good momentum going immediately, especially for these guys who have played, it's been so long since they've played like actual competitive baseball. That's important.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the only thing really with Hauver is I think his like arm is a little weak. So that's why they have him at second base instead of maybe trying to move him over to third. But the one thing that did kind of concern me is just like on his MLB.com profile, it ends with, he has elicited comparisons to Daniel Murphy and to former Yankees outfielder turned second baseman Rob Refsnyder.
Oh, no.
Now I'm scared. This can't end well.
Well,
I'm going to take this week and enjoy it.
He had a good run. But don't worry, I found out that he has a good dog, too.
Aw,
yeah, I just sent you a link to him, actually. Yeah,
that is a very good dog.
Yeah, we will be sure to include this vital info in the show notes because everyone Everyone needs to see Trevor Hover's good dog.
Yeah. But no, I mean, he's had a very, very good week. And I believe as of right now, in like MLB pipeline, he's listed as like their number 23 prospect, which is, you know, a good place to be.
Yeah. Number 23 Yankees prospect, right?
So sorry to clarify, there meaning the Yankees, not all of baseball. That would be a very good place to be if he was the 23rd best prospect in all of baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, so it may just be like hot week, but hey, if he can eventually turn into something, good for him.
Yeah. I mean, we never know what these what the minor leaguers are going to do, the baby bombers are going to do, but it's just fun to highlight when they have good times. So
yeah, especially when you hit 6 homers in a week, you could be the meet a baby bomber guy.
You've earned it. You might still be my Yankee of the week because you know it's worth it.
Yeah. All right, should I do mine?
Yeah, that's kind of all I had. Just please don't turn into Rob Rupp-Snyder.
Okay. So I did my random number generator thing for the minor league rosters, and today I came up with Nick Ernst, who is a relief pitcher in Hudson Valley. And I looked up a little about him. He's a Cincinnati kid. He went to Miami University of Ohio, so the cold one. And yeah, sorry, Kelly Kapoor.
I was going to say, maybe he became friends with Kelly Kapoor.
Yeah, shout out to my Office Season 9 heads. Never mind.
All three of us.
Yeah. Ugh, let's not talk about the later seasons of The Office. Anyway, so he was taken in the 15th round of the 2018 draft. He was mostly a reliever in school. He hit a wall in 2018 when he had to have Tommy John surgery, sort of like my guy last week, the other Justin Wilson. And the Yankees drafted him anyway, because hell, why not? He split time as a starter and reliever in Staten Island in 2019. He didn't really pitch all that well. And he's also off to a bumpy start this year in Hudson Valley, so he'll have to turn it around pretty soon. But he may just end up being an organizational pitcher, but he's in the system. Fun fact, he is regrettably a fan of Tom Brady and not a fan of Lil Nas X's Satan shoes, according to his Twitter account.
You know what? I got nothing on that. Yeah. He's only pitched in 2 games so far. Yeah, he's allowed a run in both of them, or he's allowed 2 runs total, but do better.
Yeah, do better.
And have better choices in football and music.
Yeah. I did see he did speak out onto his Twitter account about Dak Prescott battling depression and the importance of recognizing mental health in sports. So, hey, at least there's that.
All right. There's
that's
something.
Not nothing. Because I feel like the tendency for a lot of athletes is to be really macho about it. But, you know, it's good that he's like, no, this is important.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick taketh away, Nick giveth. So,
yes. He earnest a little praise from me.
You're fired.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
only because I was going to make that same exact joke and you said it right before me.
This has been the final Meet a Baby Bomber segment.
We're never doing this again.
All right. Well, whatever. We tried. All right. Shall we go on to the Yankee and the Mitre of the week?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Yankee and the Mitre of the week.
Woo.
Yeah. All right. Who's your Yankee of the week?
So I had a few options. Like, you know, I do definitely say this every week, don't I? Yeah, I do. Wow. Anyway, but I definitely had a few options I was going to go through. I'm just going to go run through my list of who my contenders were. It was going to be Kyle Higashioka for, you know, just randomly hitting a home run off of Max Scherzer, even though he's done pretty much nothing else since he's earned more playing time. My other option was just going to be Giancarlo Stanton because he's Giancarlo Stanton. Lucas Litke, I was thinking of because ever since his like first week, he's actually pitched really well.
Yes.
You know, he's been pretty good. You know, he's not like inner circle top tier of the bullpen, but he's been up there. But my Yankee of the week is going to be Gleyber Torres for finally hitting that first freaking home run of the year.
That was a good feeling. So, okay, good. He finally got one because you know that that was eating at him too.
Absolutely. Like, you could tell like, not necessarily like he was just like every single time, like, oh my God, I need to get this out, I need to get this out. But you could tell that he's just been pressing on it a little bit. The good thing is, like, he's, you know, the last like 2 weeks or so, he's been just hitting better of late as it is. So, you know, it hasn't been like impacting him too much, but it's just nice to get that out of the way. Hopefully, with just getting that first one out of the way, more will just come naturally. And if they don't, he'll just keep doing what he's doing. But I mean, since April, what is it? I think the 22nd has a slash line of 295, 377, 393. So like he's hitting, he's getting on base. It's just the slugging hasn't been there. Like, so that's just, kind of what's hopefully going to come. That's like the last thing remaining. So just getting that first one out of the way is nice.
Yeah. And he got the walk-off dribbler on Saturday. So, hey, yeah. Bonus.
Woo!
Yeah. Attaboy, Glaber. Keep going. Maybe now that the first homer is out of the way, he'll just go on a spree.
Also, just a fun little fact, since April 22nd to now, which I think I've been just kind of using April 22nd as a benchmark, because I believe that's kind of when Stanton has moved to the two spot, and that's the team has just been better since then. Gleyber Torres has exactly 69 plate appearances.
Nice.
That is all.
Very good. Well, on a,
who's your Yankee of the week?
On a similar note, I will just take the easy path and say Giancarlo Stanton for the second week in a row, because he carried his hitting streak to 12 games before it got snapped by the Nationals in that first game. Then he did go hitless against Scherzer, but whatever. Who among us would not go hitless against Scherzer? But he got the walk-off hit on Sunday, and he still hit very well for the week. He had a 375, 483, 833 triple slash with three homers. He was a big part of those two wins against the Astros. Homered in each of them. So he kept up a hot streak again, had seven hits in two games in those wins. So Giancarlo Stanton, you are still the Yankee of the week.
Yeah, it's very nice to have him consistently be in the running for that, just because, like we've talked about many times before, I just love watching that dude just hit baseballs. So it's just fun.
He's the best. He's still hitting rockets.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's destroying baseballs for whatever they did to his family. And, before we continue our Yankee and Mitri of the week, I have to kind of interrupt us to give us a little Michael King update, who is now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th on the Yankees' top 12 in baseball reference war. But the reason I kind of brought this up is because Giancarlo Stanton has moved up to third on the team. So,
good. As you hoped last week, it's starting to get a little bit more normal up the top there.
Yeah. The outside of Michael King just randomly still being there in the seventh spot, the rest of the 11 guys look kind of what you would expect to see. Maybe the order is a little bit off with like Judge at number 11, but that bad week will do that to him, I guess, too.
Yeah. Oh, I also don't know if I would have Kyle Higashioka good number two, but hey, those are the numbers now. So, you know.
Hey, we renamed the Silver Slugger to the Silver Higgs.
That's
He's
true.
The number two. He is number two. He'll eventually probably surpass Garrett Cole.
Yeah. Yeah. No, hey, he has a 165 OPS plus in 17 games, so mostly powered by those first few, but still.
Yeah, like I mentioned, since he's got more playing time, he's done nothing, but neither has Gary, so just the catching spot has just not been great.
Yeah, Gary, I think, did get a homer in the past week, but other
he
than
has.
That...
He did.
Yeah, he's still looking rough like he on needed, the plate, though. Ugh.
Since he had the homer in the first two games or whatever, the first series, and then since then, he's just been, like,
bad.
Homerless, so yeah. But anyway...
Yeah. So, well, speaking of bad, who is your Mitri of the week?
I'm really, really sorry to do this. It hurts me to do this, but it's Aaron Judge.
Yeah, that was going to be my pick.
Yeah. I mean, 7 strikeouts in a row, 11 strikeouts for the week. It's not what you want. He's batting .059. That's also what he's slugging. He has an on-base percentage of .158. My dude.
Yeah.
Well, I've never been one to really care too much about strikeouts or read too much into them. Like, because for me, it's like, I don't care if you're striking out as long as you're still producing. But if you're striking out and not producing, you're just like off at the plate. Because to me, an out's an out. I don't really care if you get it on the ground in the air or strike out. I really don't care. I don't know if that's the right way of looking at things or the wrong way, but that's just how I look at them. But to me, ultimately, it only matters if you're not freaking doing anything. So if you're just striking out, not hitting the ball, then I just feel like your timing is off. Something is off, which is just so weird. Because like last week we talked about, and you mentioned how, you know, he just had like a great week and he was almost the Yankee of the week and he just would look ready to unload. So I just need people to, I guess, say something stupid about him on a podcast again, and that's why I'm kind of trying to take it and just trying to will him back into destroying baseballs.
Yeah, let's anger him and then he'll get back to it, right? That's
how
it works.
You know, he's definitely listening to this. He's sitting there right now, and by right now I mean tomorrow, just going like, oh, that Kunj, oh, that this guy,
I disappointed guy. Him. Yeah, when you strike out in over half your plate appearances, this is when it gets really bad. So, you know, unfortunately, a worthy pick for Mitri of the week. So,
yeah.
All right.
Did you have a backup in case I went with Judge?
I did. Yeah. My backup is Mike Ford because.
Hey, that's who I was initially going to go with. And then I looked at Judge's numbers. I'm like, yep, nope, they're worse.
Yeah. Judge's numbers are worse. And it's also, you know, higher expectations for Aaron Judge than Mike Ford. But at the same time, plug Mike Ford in. You don't expect that he's going to light the world on fire, but you expect a little bit better than hitting 077
Yeah, just ever so slightly better than Judge's numbers.
Yeah, the only thing that I can say about him more than Jay Bruce is that he at least knows what he's doing at first base, because he's made some nice defensive plays there on some scoops.
Yeah, and for sure.
Throwing some balls here and there. But it's one of the reasons why it will be so good to have Luke Voit's bat back in the lineup, if not only for like getting some pitcher's respect on that spot in the lineup too, because you pitch Luke Voit a little bit differently than you pitch Mike Ford.
Just slightly. But so it's funny because, yeah, we talked about like expectations with Judge, but also the fact that even like Luke Voit's probably coming back tomorrow. And because of that, we're probably not seeing Mike Ford for a while. Like, I'm assuming he's going to be the roster move.
Well, Andujar was already about it.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. But either way, with Luke Voit coming back, you're not really seeing too much of Mike Ford anymore. So that's why he kind of earned my pass.
Yeah.
For not being Dimitri of the week. But doesn't also get it very well deserved. Also, yeah. Very well deserved, though.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll do it for us, unless you have anything else.
No, I think that's it.
Cool. All right. Well, you can rate and review us on iTunes. You can follow Pinstrip Alley on Twitter at Pinstrip Alley. Follow me at Mern's PSA. Where are you this week, Kunj?
This week, I'm at whatever Sony Movie Studios' Twitter handle is, because the new Venom trailer is out, and I just want to remind everyone that that movie title is stupid. So I'm mad at them, and you could go at them for me.
Very noble of you. I did not see the first Venom movie, and I will not be seeing the second. So
I did watch it. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, which I'm not sure is entirely a great review. But yeah, I can't get past Let There Be Carnage.
Yeah, that's I don't know. That's trying a little bit too hard for me.
Like, if you're going to go with something that cheesy, you better make the movie just like very cheesy and campy, which they are not.
I would respect if randomly, when you clicked on the link to the Venom Let There Be Carnage trailer, it just immediately took you to the fake 30 for 30 that ESPN did on the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, actually, this is what it really is.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. No, Sony and Disney worked together on Spider-Man, so maybe they can work together on that, too.
Hopefully. I know there were rumors about, like, you know, the Tom Holland Spider-Man being in that or whatever, and obviously nothing ever happened, but I think they just make rumors about the Tom Holland Spider-Man and every single thing.
Like, isn't the Fistu in it?
Tom Holland might be showing up in Mandalorian Season 3 as Spider-Man. Why not?
I want Tom Holland to show up as, like, one of his other random characters. He shows up as Billy Elliot in Spider-Man movie.
Oops, was this the wrong one?
Whoops. All right. Well, okay, we're getting off topic. All right. Well, so that'll do it for us. Pinstrip Alley Podcast. We'll say farewell to the Yankees, and please do not embarrass yourselves at the Trop.
Or just come out of it alive.
Yes, that's a good secondary goal.